Dialogue, a presentation of the Public Affairs and Special Events Department of KLRB News.
This is Dialogue Assassination with Research Specialist Mae Bressel. For KLRB, I'm Gloria Barron. Well, Mae, you have a number of things to talk about today. I might mention that today we'll be talking about J. Edgar Hoover.
That's a Nixon, popular subject.
Yes, yeah. Nixon and Bebe Rebozo, who's been in the news of late, and the justices of the Supreme Court. Now, where do you want to start?
Well, I think I'll start with an article in Time magazine this week. It's dated October the 25th, 1971. Gloria, this is in reference to my research and to the subject of Bebe Rebozo and Richard Nixon. The title of the article is called The Return of Muckraking. The section in Time magazine is called The Press. The definition of muckraking, for those of you who are too young to remember what that was.
Or muckraking.
Muckraking, yeah, muckraking. It was a type of journalism that was done in the 1900s, years ago, of investigative journalism. They didn't, instead of having news headlines that come out today that just flash on and don't follow through with an investigative course, newspapers used to have an investigator on the staff who spent a lot of time looking into the background of the origin of an article or making the headlines by exposing somebody, particularly at the time of elections. If they have scandals in their past, they would do investigative work on the candidates and expose these scandals. The dictionary defines it as a search for and to expose real or alleged corruption and scandal in politics. Now, the article in Time magazine goes on to say that this investigative reporting didn't used to be studied at Columbia University. It was a thing that where they're teaching at the American Press Division there at Columbia University 3 years ago, few people were learning the art of investigative training. And now 3/4 of all the 36 papers represented at Columbia University have one investigator doing research work on learning how to investigate. Time goes on to say, muckraking is the result of months of patient digging into musty public records, dogged cross-checking rather than from secret informants. That you go, instead of somebody telling you, whispering about Bebe Rebozo and Richard Nixon, this particular article, this is what the subject was about, goes into systematic 6 months research into the financial relationship of these particular people, their stock holdings, and their relationship to defense contracts and so forth. Now, as far as the Time magazine goes, it said that the work is done, it's patient digging into musty public records. And I have to say that my type of work is identical to what these investigators are doing now, but it isn't old or musty. And that sometimes I start my work before the body is even cold. Like in the case of John Kennedy, the answers were in so quickly when they found Oswald and no other suspect that I began to save articles right then, you know, and even before the funeral. And I went on to study people in our political world. And I study certain persons, where they work, who they work with, how they travel, their contacts with certain police departments. And by the time a crime is committed, I already have a folder on these particular people. I have an unusual, I'm not muckraking, I am saving. I'm not going into the dusty files, but I can predict certain events like Ted Kennedy's accident. These are documented in correspondence with these people, or Robert Kennedy's murder, or the massacre that was to come down to so the hippies would be discredited, or the prison riots that are taking place. I can talk about a particular person up at San Quentin, Jesse Phillips, whose life has been threatened, and say they're planning, they've already asked certain people to kill him. And because I know what is going on in our system and people come to me and provide me with information, I watch the people who are doing these things before the murders take place. But I give them warning, and I write, and I call and scream, or like I'm on the air saying, this is going to happen. Like George Jackson said, I'm going to die, or Malcolm X said, I'm going to be killed. And you begin to see why he's going to be killed. What is he saying that would make him be killed? Who is he threatening? And you watch the people that he is accusing of being his enemies, and you see who they make the deals with and how they connect with other people. And then by the time he is killed, which is a tragedy, you already have a pattern, a modus operandi. So Time Magazine went on to say that they now keep four, Newsday newspaper in Long Island, keeps 4 to 11 men researching special projects. Newsday is a newspaper that carried a series of articles that were not in our Monterey Herald or the Chronicle, but the San Jose Mercury carried a series of articles for 5 continuous days. They were the week before last. And I didn't have time to sit down and take them apart like I wanted to until this weekend. And the articles, the research that Newsday did, is what I'm going to be talking about in terms of Richard Nixon and Bebe Rebozo, because they sent a team out to investigate the relationship of George Smathers and Bebe Rebozo. Now, the article goes on to say that the purpose, I'll read you the conclusion of the research, and then I'll go on and tell you what they found. The person who ordered the research said, "We are not looking for criminals. We are trying to produce a detailed, factual account to tell people how their government really works." Now, a lot of people have asked me, what are my motives for doing research on the assassinations or watching world figures as they move around and go about their business and wondering why they're island hopping to certain places? I do that kind of research that the men are doing in these particular newspaper things, and my subject is political assassinations, because I want to know how the government works. And the only way you really know is not what they say, but what banks they bank at, how much land they bought, what they paid for it, what they sold. Did they own that land and never had to pay any payments on it till the investigator showed up? You know, what was the mortgage on it? Was any money transpired? If it wasn't, how do you accumulate masses of money without any cash to begin with? I'm trying to stick with the public records that are filed in the counties, or these men were doing that. I'm sticking with sworn testimony, FBI reports, and documents of the State Department to see how our government really works. Now, for those of you who don't know these names, George Smathers was the Democratic senator from Florida at the time John Kennedy was president. And he lives in the Miami area. He voted against everything that Kennedy wanted, and they asked him, why did he do that? And he said, well, the president understands. He happened to be the best man one of the ushers at John Kennedy's wedding. But I think it had to be probably a political kind of thing that Kennedy recognized Miami, or Smathers was moving in into the presidency to see if he could help control it in some way. So George Smathers was a Democratic senator from Florida, but his associations were with Lyndon Johnson and with the Republicans in that area. And Bebe Rebozo was a man who lived in the Miami area who I've kidded about on the show, but I know he had a very important position because he lives on the compound with Richard Nixon. He's the only person outside of the Secret Service who lives right inside the Nixon dwelling, has his own bungalow, and he drives Richard Nixon everywhere. The Secret Service is behind them, and he is with him at Camp David, and wherever he vacations, or with his family, or with the family celebrations, Rebozo is always there. And he has become a millionaire down in the Miami area. He has a bank. He has a lot of property. And the team of Bebe Rebozo and George Smathers is a fascinating team. And the reason, again, that Mr. Green goes into them is he wants to find how the government really works. And his main target, he said, for the articles, the most distinguished target in the country is the President of the United States. Now, the title of the articles wasn't Richard Nixon's connections in Florida, but this series of articles, if you didn't get them in the San Jose Mercury, you might go to a library and take them on a copying machine and copy them down if you are a serious student of what I'm saying, because a lot of you are taking tapes and getting the books, and you've become really serious. Some people are keeping notebooks now and spending at least 1 or 2 hours a night taping in articles and so forth. It's really far out. And this is a good collection because this is only the beginning of what's going to come very soon. Now, one of the articles that Newsday put out on a town called Islip in New York, similar to this type of article, won 17 awards, including the 1970 Pulitzer Prize. It led to the indictment of 21 persons, the conviction of 7 people, the resignation of 20 public officials, and they managed this without one libel suit. My work is such that I'm sticking with the documents, what they signed, what they said under oath, and I feel I will be protected, too, because I am sticking, like Newsday is doing, with their own acts. And this is where the power is going to come to effect changes in our society. When you have the facts of the way the wheelers and dealers work, they can be indicted, they can be removed from office. And we haven't begun to hear the problems that Mr. Rebozo and Smathers and Richard Nixon are in down in the Miami area. Now, when I spent 3 days on this article and cross-filed over and over again. And after I just about threw at that work, the Time magazine came and told me that the man, this Mr. Green, who instigated this article, he worked with Bobby Kennedy as a staff investigator for the Senate Rackets Committee in 1957. Now, this is interesting because I could smell something coming through here that was really heavy. And he was saying something. It isn't all in the Mercury articles. Maybe they'll mention one name like I do on the show. A lot of people say, well, you go so fast, you'll mention a name like DeMorin Shield or George Bowie. We don't know those names. That name invokes 1,000 images, and I move along, and I can't do a whole show on those names. And this man put 5 articles. And just the suggestion of what is in those 5 articles is very heavy. So I took those newspaper articles, and I broke them down. I'm going to show you how I broke them down into these categories. So this is what involves Richard Nixon in this area, and I say you're going to hear more about it. I broke it into the space defense contracts involving Smathers, Rebozo, and the use of the mafia and the gangland and the pressure that congressmen have and the use of political money on presidents to give contracts to companies that would be disbarred from having these contracts if they come to Richard Nixon and dangle $6 million in campaign contributions and a lot of other things. And then the pressure is put on certain corporations like Aerodex, even though the planes are malfunctioning, to give them the new contracts. I have a section on the mafia and underworld. The connections going down there are very heavy. When the government has a small business loan that they give to build a huge shopping center, they not only don't give it to the poor blacks or the underprivileged in that area, the ex-mayor of Havana screens out who will the tenants be, and Bibi Rebozo turns out to be one of the tenants in a secret deal with his hand into a profit laundromat. But the builder is an ex-gangland underworld figure who testified before the Kefauver committees, a big boss, underworld boss in narcotics and so forth from Cleveland, builds the entire shopping center for the small business loan. I cross-filed under LBJ with Nixon and Rebozo because all along I've said we have one government, we have a one-party system, and after Kennedy was dead, Smathers went to the White House every week to eat with LBJ. When Kennedy was alive, as a Democrat from Miami, he wouldn't vote through his bills, but they're very thick, and it seems that Lyndon Johnson had visited the private resort, private islands of these people, and was a part of that team. Then I cross-filed under the Bahamas. And Sturgeon, I mentioned last before, Mr. Sturgeon, who is a group of men who turn out to be underworld figures. And I filed under there. I filed under the Nixon-Rebozo friendship, which is very strange. And then I find in the article, I file under Rebozo his background. When I say file, I start a manila envelope and I give it a label. And then from that day on, any more information on that subject, I put into an envelope because the story of Bibi Rebozo was that he was a chauffeur and he was a garage mechanic and he learned to fly airplanes for Pan American for a while, and then he went back to the Miami area after he flew these airplanes. He wasn't in the service per se, but he took these Pan American planes around and went back to having a contact with his classmate Smathers, George Smathers, he knew in high school, and his road to financial success and fame to be the president's became very sudden. Well, all I got from these articles, the fact that Bibi Rebozo flew for the Strategic Air Command. I never knew it. And he flew to the Gold Coast in Africa. And Mr. Green's telling us he flew empty airplanes. Can you imagine flying? He went from Miami down to Puerto Rico to Brazil and then to the Gold Coast in Africa with the Strategic Air Command. So I began then to look up the Richard Nixon's background in before he became a senator, and he worked for the Strategic Air Command in the Far East. And it turned out, last week we mentioned how an ad was placed in Pasadena for a congressman to run. They said wanted one man to run for a member of the House. And Richard Nixon answered the ad, and I was looking up the reference when I got home to see exactly how it was worded. And memory had played a funny trick. I hadn't read this in 4 or 5 years. The ad was placed in the paper, and I have a copy of the ad. But the point is that Richard Nixon was still in the service, and he was in Maryland. And a man, gentleman, a banker that I'm doing some research on, telephoned him and said, "Are you a Republican or a Democrat?" And Richard Nixon said, well, I think he was registered Republican at the time. He was for Wilkie once. He said, well, come on out. You're going to run for Congress. And that was how. Now, when I was doing research on the Supreme Court to see if the names mentioned were in my files under the John Mitchell file, and I went through my filing cabinet last night, I came across the fact that not only did Richard Nixon never meet John Mitchell until 3 years ago, but John Mitchell was he was registered not Republican or Democrat, independent. And you have all these people, Agnew switching, Mitchell. I say that it is an intelligence government and it is controlled by these people who are not traditionally the political people. They're the behind-the-scene maneuvers with the headquarters in Jamaica. And this is a strong statement. But I have to tell you, in going through the articles on the background of Rebosa, it said Strategic Air Command. Isn't that interesting, Gloria?
And possibly he and Richard Nixon met in the Strategic Air Command?
Or someone up above. This is the way I analyze it, is that the orders, it makes sense when you look back. You know, we, at the end of World War II, we were the largest, richest nation. Everyone else was down on their knees. We were starting, the OSS became the CIA, and Allen Dulles and John Foster Dulles selected Eisenhower and said they made all the policies for him. So we had a military man in office for 8 years. Now, it would be ridiculous, all this money and all that wealth of the Gold Coast and the oils and the minerals of the world, wouldn't it be ridiculous to groom a man for vice president who wasn't beholden to all these people? See, I always thought Richard Nixon was beholden to a group in San Marino, but they wouldn't just pick all of these goodies and let one man be the vice president. It wouldn't make sense. So that I feel that because of my research into political assassinations and the team that really works is connected with the Air Force and the space and the Nazis that came over under the guise of building up a space program. We imported many Nazis. And the Strategic Air Command is like Dr. Strangelove, if you remember. It's all there. And as I was cross-finding these articles, somebody at my home asked me if I'd seen Dr. No or any of these movies of Fleming's. And I said no, because he mentioned that this is the total. As I was going over all these articles about Nixon and Rebosa, and Smalley was identical to the Dr. No series, and the gangland comes in on the secret island and so forth, and I didn't know they existed. Well, anyway, getting back to the articles, the Newsday in Long Island, it suggests a marvelous place for safe houses, a particular island on Kay Bay that was owned by two particular people, Rebosa's lawyer and another gentleman, his partner, business partner, and he was the secret owner. Rebosa was he was secret on so many things. I filed under CIA safe houses with a question mark, because this you'd never know, but it'd be a perfect place. The government bought the land from them, but nobody gets on it. You know, it became a public park in 69, but the political government had changed hands by 69. You didn't even need safe houses anymore. But 3 weeks before John Kennedy was killed in Dallas, the police department picked up a man and took a tape recording that he was supposed to be killed in Miami. And a man with a gun that was not assembled to come put in a paper bag and go to a tall building, and he wouldn't be the one to shoot. He would be the decoy, and he'd be arrested. And it's on a tape that is published for all the researchers, anyone who wants to see it, on how it was going to happen. And the police department notified the Secret Service, so instead of John Kennedy taking a motorcade in Miami, they airlifted and they had a helicopter that took him to where he was speaking. But he was supposed to be killed in Miami. So then he was supposed to be killed in Chicago, too. So there were places. There are places. So it's very interesting that these particular islands are owned by persons close to Nixon, very close, and George Smathers and so forth, I file this under Air Force contracts and Air Transport Command. I do it under Rebozo's background, and then I also do it under Air Force, and I do it under... These articles gave me information that Donald Nixon was called by Rebozo when Rebozo was found holding stolen stocks. He called to Donald Nixon in California and to investigate this particular place that a mutual friend of theirs was building parts for airplane factory in Miami. And Donald Nixon said, I don't remember who I called and I don't remember what he said. Well, you can imagine. There will have to be some indictments on all of this. They can't just forget that. You know, why would you call Donald Nixon about that? And then I also, when I read the article, I make a divider called public officials who are breaking the law, who are not paying payments on their land, the kind of fees they're getting. And this is the kind of thing these lawsuits, I think, will have to come out very soon. And then I cross-file things under secret dealings where the names were hidden from the actual ownership. And I go into Nixon's campaign because I keep a whole filing cabinet on Richard Nixon, maybe 30 subjects. Nixon's family, Nixon's money, Nixon's friends. And sometimes you're cross-filed in two places, but you come out with a picture of what's going on. And then you put under FBI and stolen stocks. Well, this Time Magazine article covers all the corruption and suggests problems in many areas. I can't go into each one. I have the material here. There, this island at Adams Key that was owned by Rebozo at Coco Lobo Cay Bay, sold to the U.S. government. That is one subject brought up in the articles. The subject of Aerodex, the defense firm, how they were going to lose their contract and the pressure put on to let the government do it. There is a subject on the American Horse Council that there were tax loopholes, that horse owners, the racetrack people, have loopholes that would save the American taxpayers millions of dollars. The provisions on the selling of horses was done for the farmer, the poor farmer all over America, and the racetrack people got in on it. And through the influence of Smathers, who was retained at very high fees, the tax benefit continues to go to the American Horse Council. So if your taxes go up, the horse people go down. The utility company that Rebozo owns, the Florida Power and Light Company, is involved here. And this is terrible. You know, there's a case going on in San Francisco with Mayor Alioto and the utilities up in Washington State and a fee of $2 million he got. Politicians are making so much money off of your gas, your light, electricity, your water. Someday they'll just have to be put back in the hands of the people. You know, my bills come at $40 for water, $30 for gas, you know, and $50 for electricity every month, something like that. Anyway, there's subjects in the Bahamas, the mafia syndicate, stretching all the way from Alabama to California, Miami. There's a whole section on stolen FBI stocks. And Rebozo, not stolen FBI, the FBI comes to see Rebozo. They're stolen stocks from E.F. Hutton. And they were sitting in Rebozo's bank, and when the FBI came, he sold them the next day. Not that he thought anything was wrong with them, but he thought he may as well sell them. And then all the Newsday articles come into the small business loans, how hard it is in Detroit, Chicago, and other states to get any money for people to get loans to open their own small businesses. So the government was to come in and get them started on their business because they have no credit and the bank wouldn't give them credit. And the idea was to let people start their own small businesses. So instead of giving it to other areas with a lot of pressure, one hunk of money was given to B.B. Rebozo for a small business loan. And he had a lot of places where he could get loans from that he didn't talk about, and a lot of places where money would come in. But he builds this huge mall and shopping center, which is half empty, and the government guarantees the rent. Nobody's using half of it. And then last year, a Canadian bought it. And, of course, I'll do research on the Canadian, and I'll write to Mr. Green. And that word rings 1,000 bells to me in terms of assassination planning and J. Edgar Hoover and the racetrack people up in Montreal. So if a small business thing isn't making it, and the money was allocated for the people in the Florida area, why does a Canadian buy it? That brings up a lot of problems, because there certainly must be some people in Miami wanting to open their own business that don't have money. And then there's an article on the Florida fruit lands. And then another article on Rebozo with his godson. He had very close friends, and they were killed in an airplane crash going over Japan. and left an estate of $250,000. And Rebozo was the godson. He became the executor on the estate with the boy's uncle. There was a 17-year-old boy that survived. The boy got $7,000, and Rebozo and the uncle each got $60,000. And when Newsday did their investigating, the boy didn't even know that his folks had that kind of money. You know, they didn't know that his godfather had $60,000 from the estate, and the boy had $7,000. He's working for some clothing store in Florida, and he didn't even know this was existing. So there may be a suit on that. He didn't have much to say right at the time. So if you read Time magazine on muckraking, I think you'll find it really interesting. Now, another article we want to talk about, Gloria, is called The File on J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, yeah.
I think that people who listen to this show might buy Time magazine if you don't buy it, or copy these pages, because Time magazine on page 14 has a two-page article on J. Edgar Hoover. You know, he's having his trouble with the agencies. And there's a picture of the files of 1920 and 1930 and 1940, and then the 50, 60, and 70 are coming down and hitting him on the head. There's a cartoon, and he's sort of being knocked over by the work. It's knocked him out. Now, what's happening to poor J. Edgar Hoover? He's having a bad time in Washington. I predicted he would 4 years ago when Howard Hughes moved into Vegas, and we've talked about this before, and people would say, even people that worked at Hughes Aircraft in Santa Monica, my brother-in-law said, why is Hughes moving in the dead of night of Vegas? And I said, because I've been studying a police state for 4 years. And in a police state, you can't have too many bosses. And you're talking about an intelligence system, intelligence operation, a behind-the-scene government. And they're going to squeeze out J. Edgar Hoover. He's going to be the second man. And the intelligence system, and Mr. Hughes must be Mr. CIA, or group of men, representing the intelligence, munitions, places, and the FBI will be squeezed out. And then, just starting a year ago, or a little less than a year ago, Robert Mayhew of the FBI, who's running the ex-FBI gaming tables and so forth, was given a letter, you know, and Mr. Hughes went all the way, he was down in the Bahamas again, in Jamaica or in the Bahamas, slipped out in the dead of night with a letter that Mr. Mayhew is to leave the scene. He's fired. Now, what was that all about? That was exactly the way I thought it would happen. I thought that they were there partly to squeeze out the mafia and come down on J. Edgar Hoover. Now, why did Time magazine run these articles? The whole point of it is this, that J. Edgar Hoover has been very paranoid and limited in his scope. He is not a total police state man. As bad as you think he is, there's worse to come. There's worse. There's John Mitchell and that team, and we're going to go into that in the selection of justices. Mr. Hoover will look pretty good when I'm through.
Yes, we'll take just a moment to say that you're listening to Dialogue Assassination with Mae Brussel. This is KLRB Stereo FM, Carmel by the Sea.